Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury. Welcome back to Conversations with the Pros. Tonight, I am chatting with Lions dancer, Aji Sissoko.
Hey!
Hi.
How's everything? Good?
Good, yeah. We finished work a bit early, which was, we've been super busy. So lots of dancing. We're about to perform next week with the SF Symphony. So we're getting ready for that. But yeah, life is good. I really can't complain.
That's so exciting. Is this your first time back to live performance or have you been back already?
Yeah, we've had a few performances. The latest one was a week ago. We were in Orange County. So we did one show there. But this seems like, you know, the first one we are doing in San Francisco after not having performed here in like 2 years. And it's a big deal because it is with the SF Symphony, so a brand new collaboration. So we're really excited for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And definitely a big deal. It has been a very long time, right? Since we've had normalcy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, I mean, it's still not quite over, but at least we are getting somewhat back into the routine. I was just telling my friend the other day, it's kind of crazy how we did nothing and then we just went back and pretended like we had no break and just went like full power. So it's yeah.
Yes. And same in New York. You know, everything is starting to get back. We're starting to get back our live performances, thankfully. It's so exciting. And I agree. I've spoken to several dancers who have, you know, really explained how you don't realize how difficult it is getting back to the studio after taking so much time where you're kind of like dancing in your own space. And now you're back into the studio with so many other artists around you. It's a lot. Like, it's not only a lot mentally, but it's a lot physically, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think I got really used to doing my own schedule and being very in tune with what do I need today? Like, how is my body feeling? And if there was a day where I felt like ballet wasn't the thing, I would just, you know, read a book. And so now it's, you have to kind of scale that back and somehow find out, how can I do what I'm asked to and still make it feel like this is what I'm choosing to? So it's, you know, your body might be hurting, but you can't say I'm reading a book. You still have to go to rehearsal. So it's a challenge getting back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, just to rewind a little bit, at the beginning of quarantine, so much of what I was doing in regards to like my educating of dancers was that this was the time when we were home, when we had more time on our hands, it was a great time for us to like tap more into this idea of intuitive eating and intuitive fueling and even intuitive dancing and movement in a way, because you have this time, you can really go about your own schedule, even with food. And now you're really being thrown back into that usual schedule and having to have a more proactive approach to it. So Aji, I know you're a health coach, which I think is awesome. And I want to hear from you about that balance, you know, having been from that more intuitive place while you were home, while you had more time, to now how you're fueling your body back in a busy schedule.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I also tell my clients, you know, you just got to listen to yourself and like not plan, oh, at 3 o'clock it's lunchtime. Maybe you're not hungry at 3 o'clock, or maybe you get hungry at two. So I'm all about that as well. And then, as you mentioned, now I don't get as much of a say because our lunch break is at 2:15. And if you don't feel hungry, you know you'll feel hungry later on. So it's like you almost gotta eat. But I still give myself the choice of what am I eating. So yes, it's time to eat, but at the same time, I want to just like listen to like, what do I feel like? So I have a few options. Like, you know, for example, yesterday I had a salad and then I had something that is microwavable. So I was like, what am I feeling like? Do I want like a hot meal right now? Or do I feel like something light? So just having these options and kind of still feeling like you can listen to yourself and see what you need in that moment, I think is really important.
Yeah, I agree. And also one thing that you're kind of bringing up here that I want a lot of dancers to understand is the concept of convenience and the idea that because of your schedule now, convenience does come into play when you're actually choosing what you're bringing to the studio with you. And also, like you said, your lunch break might be at 2 p.m. You might not be hungry at 2 p.m., but you know you're headed into a 4-hour rehearsal. You've got to eat at 2 p.m., right? In order to make sure you're planning ahead. That's that proactive approach that you now have to be more insightful about while you're back in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like all the dancers, from day to day, we change. Like sometimes we get super hungry right after class and you might decide to eat what you had packed for the long lunch right then. So it's like, you just got to be flexible within the flexibility that you have.
Yeah, so important. Another thing that a lot of dancers talk about is, so some of the younger dancers, right, like the students will be like, oh, yeah, Rachel, like, should I eat less on my rest days and on my recovery days? And often I'm saying, no, I don't want you to think about adjusting your intake, whether you're dancing or not dancing. In fact, and I want to hear what you think about this, when I'm talking to the professional level dancers, it's very common for them to actually feel more hungry on sometimes on those rest days because your body is playing catch up. Do you ever feel that way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, and it makes sense to me because I was also thinking about it. Like, why is it that I just feel like on my day off, I literally want to just constantly eat? But it makes sense because I just feel like my body is healing, right? So it needs that fuel. It needs, and sometimes it's like, oh, why am I craving this of all things? But it's like, maybe your body needs a lot of protein right now because the muscles are like just adjusting with all the work. And so again, just the listening. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Aji, a lot of younger dancers struggle with challenges throughout their journey towards a professional career. These challenges could be anything like fueling their body to also navigating a lot of body ideals in the dance world. I'm so curious to hear about your journey from pre-professional dancer to professional dancer and how you've been able to overcome some of these challenges.
I have just accepted that I'm constantly changing. So not even just like how I look, but also what I need, what I want, how my body is reacting. Something that I had to, or that I was kind of struggling with is when I moved to the States from Germany, I danced in Canada for a while and suddenly my one hand would just be swelling. And I'm like, did I break my hand? Did I hit it? I could not understand what happened. And then finally we figured out, oh, I'm gluten intolerant. For me, I don't want to cross something off my list. Like, oh, I can't have it. So I had to find for myself, like, how do I deal with that? And maybe I don't have to deny it because it's just my hand that gets a bit swollen. But just like finding that healthy balance. And now it took me a few years to figure it out, but now I feel like I know kind of, I can have some gluten. So it's just like kind of finding that fine balance and really, really tuning in to your body, because I am always hesitant to be like cutting things out and saying, oh, I can't have this. Absolutely not. Because honestly, I tried that and I wanted it even more because I was like, nope, no muffins for you. And I'm like, all I'm thinking about is muffins. So it doesn't work.
Yeah. So two things I want to go back on. The first is, I love this concept. You're the first one to, on this series that I do to bring this up, and I think it's so important for dancers to hear. The idea of gluten intolerance, it's actually pretty rare among the population. I think a lot of people feel they're gluten intolerant without actually being gluten intolerant. But obviously, in your case, you truly experienced something that was very valid. But I love the idea that you realize that it's not necessarily about completely eliminating gluten. That's usually what our mindset, what our culture tends to tell us, you know what I mean? It's like this total elimination of certain foods when that's actually not the case. So often it's dose dependent and doesn't need to be fully eliminated because, and this is the second point I want to reiterate, as you bring up, the more restrictions we start to implement, the deeper our cravings get. I think that's the biggest misconception that I hear is, why am I getting so many cravings? Why am I nonstop thinking about certain foods? And it's like, hey, guess what? Maybe because you are either restricting them or you're telling yourself that you shouldn't be eating those foods. But I do love your outlook, right? Because again, so often dancers will hear gluten intolerant and they'll just want to fully restrict it. And that's so not the case. It's so not the case at all. And I love that you're talking about that. That's so important. Now, I want to talk a little bit about body image and some of the work that you do with clients that you work with in regards to cultivating a better or more neutral or more positive body image.
Yeah. I think especially when I joined Lions Ballet, my whole idea of like body image kind of switched, and I was just like, that's so superficial in a way, but like the work that we do is so much deeper, where when I watch some of my colleagues dance, I don't necessarily see their body. I see like deeper, like, what are you saying? Like, what are you expressing? What are you communicating? And so I really could not care less at that moment, like even like what you look like, your hair color, your anything. It's the work is so much deeper. And sometimes we get caught in that superficial, like, oh, I need this leg shape, I need this finger. Like, and you know, in the end, that is really not what it's about. Yeah, I think also what is really important to notice is our thoughts are super, super strong and powerful. So sometimes when we look in the mirror, like, oh man, you look awful today. Oh yeah, like you will feel awful and you will go to ballet or work and you'll act a little bit different because of what you had just told yourself. So it's like, yeah, just realizing how powerful thoughts are really helped me. And this is just something that I kind of realized throughout my health life coaching training, how what we tell ourselves has such an impact on how we then behave and what comes back to us. So that's an important one, especially for young students. And sometimes it's not even something that you told yourself, but maybe somebody told you and you kind of clung to that, and then you start thinking that way and you make decisions that will also kind of feed into that. So we gotta just like let that go. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I totally agree. The idea of our thoughts linking to our emotions and then our emotions having such a strong impact on our behavior. So it's like the second you walk into that studio, you, like you said, you're going to feel down. Now, like dancers, it's almost like because there's so many external messages in the dance world when it comes to body image, dancers have to have, and I said this word before, more of like a proactive approach when it comes to relearning messages about bodies and body types. And like you said, taking the focus perhaps away from body and perhaps embodying the artistry and how you can like depict a story through your movement and really shifting the outlook on like what you're actually doing in class. So utilizing the mirror, for example, to tell a story, not necessarily to compare yourself to the dancer next to you or your body to the dancer next to you.
Yeah, I the older I get and the more I dance and grow, I actually don't use the mirror. Like, I might stand right in front of the mirror, but I don't even have the time or energy to check all these little things because, again, like, I'm going deeper. I'm, like, really am so focused on, like, wow, what else can I find in the plie that I do every single day, rather than looking, wow, what's all looking weird there in the mirror, but like, what are you feeling like internally? And the more you approach the movement that way, the more the audience will see you that way. Because if you are all about, oh, the shoulder, you know, then the audience also goes like, oh, her shoulder, you know. So it's like, you want to go deeper. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Absolutely. And where you can actually feel the movement, you know what I mean? Instead of just, like you said, adjusting the little intricacies here and there, but actually, like you said, going deeper and feeling the lift and the grounding all at the same time. Like, that takes a lot of mental energy out of you, right? If a dancer is solely focused on how they look, or even solely focused on, let's say, what they're eating or counting calories, they literally don't have the time to feel those oppositions in class and work on the deeper technique, right, that you're talking about.
And I think there's something to be said also on like trusting yourself and like your insight, because we all have such great intuition. But what happens, the older we get, we kind of, we hide that intuition, we don't trust it, and we trust outside voices more. Maybe you see what your friends are eating, you think this is the right thing to eat, or you hear certain things and you just think that that's what you should be following. But if you just took a second and went inside and listened to your own body and your intuition, you would maybe realize, oh, for me personally, that doesn't work. I need that. And that can be scary, because we all, I don't know, I think there's something that we are scared to be different often. Even for myself, I like a few years ago, I realized that when we were on tour and I was hanging out with all the dancers, I was trying to follow their eating habit. So let's say everybody orders this meal, and I would feel like, wow, but I'm still really hungry. But I would just be like, no, I eat like them. And it's like, no, like, I have to listen to my body, and maybe I needed two meals. And then not to be scared to be different, just order it. Or if it's the opposite, if you're like, actually, I'm full, then that's okay too. So it's just kind of trusting your intuition and your inner voice more than maybe outside forces.
Yeah, so true. Really diving deep into that intuition, just as you said, and being able to learn what fuels you, what allows you to feel good physically, mentally, what satisfies you, what food choices will satisfy you, the amount of food that will satisfy you. And it's so important for dancers to realize that it is so individual among us. So yeah. Aji, it's so easy for dancers to hyper-focus when it comes to ballet. We see this mainly with the younger dancers, with the students, because obviously they have so much on their plate and they care a lot about, you know, the next step, getting into either the summer intensive or the company. And I'd love to hear from you how you are able to integrate a bit more balance, where maybe it's not just focused on your art, and how that's helped you become more of like a well-rounded dancer.
I think realizing that stress is a big component that sometimes makes us choose certain things or make decisions that are not beneficial for us, because when we're stressed out, we're like, oh, well, let me just do this, and then you didn't really have time to even think and like listen. So eliminating some of that stress in any way possible, that could literally be like 5 minutes to yourself where you're just kind of closing your eyes, or maybe you want to just take a second in the sun, or like, everybody's different, right? Like, somebody needs to read a book, somebody needs to listen to music, somebody needs to play an instrument, somebody needs to sing, whatever it is that can kind of give you that moment of like releasing some of that stress, so that you can make better decisions that are more in tune with what you personally need, I think is a big one. Then also understanding that it's not even as much about like, oh, what am I eating? How much am I eating? But also like, what state are you in when you're eating? Are you super stressed out or anxious, or you have like negative thoughts, or you're just like, yeah, that will also have an effect about how you are taking in that food. Because I know for myself, sometimes the break that we have for lunch is really short, and sometimes I'm kind of like upset rehearsal didn't go well, or I know I have like so many more hours and I'm just like tired and stressed out, and then I'm eating my lunch and I have these thoughts and I'm like not really calm, and then the lunch just sits there and I'm like, oh, I feel so full and bloated and I don't feel good. And the next day I can have that exact same lunch, but like I'm in a much like calmer state, and that will affect me like, oh, I ate the same thing, but I feel completely fine and well. So that's also important to notice.
Yeah, it's so true. The experience around food, so many dancers experience those negative thoughts while eating, whether it's food guilt, whether it's just thinking I'm eating emotionally and I shouldn't be eating this way, which is, again, not true. You're such a great testament to this, everything you're saying in regards to you could be feeling emotionally in one way. How can we cope with those emotions but still allow ourselves to nourish and fuel our bodies in a stress-free experience around mealtime, which is so important. Aji, the final question that I ask all dancers on here that I'd love to hear from you and your insight would be, how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer?
I think for me, if I think about like healthy dancer, is like being me, like my inner self, listening to that, trusting that, kind of being in complete balance with that, because that will make the healthiest me, the healthiest dancer, the healthy everything, because that's like, that's how I am, like that's the going back to the being. It's so, yeah, I think stripping down all the extra and going back inside will really solve a lot of problems, because we know exactly what to do, what to eat, how to eat, when to eat. We know that all. We don't need to read a book about it even. Like, it's really just like listening and trusting yourself.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, one thing that we always educate upon is the idea that we're all born intuitive eaters. I have a 4.5-year-old and a 10-month-old at home, and it is so fascinating to watch them with food, especially my 4.5-year-old, okay, because he like loves sweets, but he could have a cookie in front of him, eat half of it, be totally satisfied, and just walk away. That concept in of itself starts to diminish as we get older, as we start to experience all these external messages that you're talking about, right? All of those messages that we need to now proactively strip away, because we do know how to fuel our body. We can fuel our body intuitively. I see my 10-month-old do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, but stripping away those external messages that often lead to a lot of food guilt, that's what we need to work on. And, you know, in your work with your clients and just in your work as an artist, that's what you're helping dancers do. So I'm so appreciative of that.
Yeah. And also realizing that it's the same with dance, like all the things that we've just talked about with food, it's the same with dance, like stripping away these ideas and things that maybe a teacher had told you, kind of like going back to like, wow, what if I approach this turn completely different today? Yeah. And you'll be so surprised, because your body, we know how to turn or jump. Like, it's just because we start putting all these rules on it, and then we lose the initial joy even, or also like the ability to. So yeah, this really goes for everything.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. I never thought of it like that, but it's so true that even in dance, if you're working on your pirouettes, if you're working on anything, adagio, whatever it might be, when all of those little corrections that you're getting start to like pile up in your mind, and you start to like really get crazy and obsessive, and you're just like, before you know it, you're just like forcing through turns and everything is terrible. So helpful to think of stripping it away and just going back to like your simplified movement of what you know. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you so much. You have given us such wonderful insight. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you.
My pleasure. Really nice talking to you.